Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards present The Woman Who Couldn't Come Home, starring Mady Christians. Now to preside over our program, here is your Hallmark host, Les Tremaine.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We bring you an inspiring story tonight of what one woman accomplished in Europe after the First World War. It's a true story of gallantry and mercy and high courage. Our leading role will be played by a great actress, a star of international renown, famous on the European stage as well as on Broadway. I Remember Mama was one of her many successes that will long be remembered. Tonight we are proud to present Mady Christians. We feel very fortunate to have you as our star tonight, Miss Christians.
And I'm delighted to be here, Les. It's a challenge to play a living person. You know, that's what I like about your Hallmark shows. The fact that they're true gives them a special distinction.
Have you heard many of them?
Enough to know who started the habit of looking at Christmas cards backwards.
Well, that's not quite the way we put it. The fact is, you discover added meaning in any greeting card when you turn it over and find on the back those three little words, a Hallmark card. And those three little words...
Tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. You see, I have listened to your shows.
Well, that's a great compliment, and we're flattered, Miss Christians. But now the stage is yours. Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you on the Reader's Digest radio edition the story of The Woman Who Couldn't Come Home, starring Mady Christian. Paris, 1918, and the war is over. In a building rising out of the crowded streets, out of the masses of delirious people, in American Red Cross headquarters, celebrating went on. Two American nurses stand looking down at the crowds in the street.
It's over! It's over, Anne! Oh, and how good after a year and a half of this! Dying! And home! Oh, just being home will make all the difference! Home, of course! We'll go home together, you and I. We lie out in the deck in the sun on the way back.
Oh,
we'll see New York. The lights and the building. We will go home together.
Of course we will.
And the very first night back, we'll go to Rector's.
Oh,
and we'll eat everything and anything.
Oysters. First we'll have oysters.
And lobster. And guinea hen with wild rice. And a beefsteak thick as this.
And cake with cream all over it. Thick and sweet.
Lieutenant.
Oh, Major, pull out the chair and sit down to the biggest dinner anyone ever had.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, I'm sorry we were dreaming. And there wasn't a poor dream in the lot. When do we go, Major?
Go?
Home.
Oh. Lieutenant Swenson, I want to talk to you. Doris, we need your help.
The Army doesn't usually issue engraved invitations.
Doris, the war's over for the armies, but not for the people. It'll go on, the suffering and the dying, as it always has after a war. There are trouble spots where men can do no good. Nurses are what's needed.
Nurses?
Yes. In the makeshift camps packed with refugees, in the desolate places where war has thrown people, those people are suffering from starvation and disease. They need help.
Do you want me to volunteer?
It's my job to ask.
But Major, home. I haven't been home in a year and a half.
That's why it's voluntary.
How long will it take?
We don't know. Estimates run a year, maybe a little more. Well?
Major, do me a favor. When you get back to New York, go to Rector's.
Rector's?
Yes, and order the biggest dinner you can eat. And then sit down and write me all about it. Would you do that for me?
Good girl, Doris.
Intolerable. We've just about succeeded in getting things organized here in Corinth, and they do this to us.
If the American lady permit George the liberty...
Well?
3,000 orphans. You cannot let them die.
Who said anything of the sort? It just beats me, that's all. After I was finished here, I was to go home. And now when I'm done, they dump these squalling children on me, dirty and ragged and hungry. Hungry? Yes, of course. George, get the car out. But the first thing we have to do is feed those children.
But food, it does not grow on trees.
Oh, George, I don't know what I'd do without you.
Oh, I have said something funny again.
Get that amazed look off your face and come along.
The American lady was right. It was the food. Now that they have eaten... Look at them sleeping.
Yes. They're asleep. 6 months. That's all it should take.
6 months? What is it which it takes 6 months?
6 weeks.
Six weeks?
To get these orphans settled. And then home.
The American lady dream about home long time.
Oh, a very long time, George. It's been years and places. France, Poland, Serbia, then here in Greece.
You dream about home, eh? Maybe about some man, American man, eh?
Sometimes.
About children, too. Well, not dirty, crying children, but a nice little one. Or maybe two, three, four.
Yes, George. George.
Eh?
That one who's crying. You've got to find that one. It'll always be others. Come quick. Here. I found it. This one.
She must cry.
We must get him out of here and back to the office.
This way.
In here. Put on the light, George. Now, you will be all right. All right, all right. That's the good little boy. Quickly, George, the light.
Yes. There.
George.
Is something wrong?
There certainly is. Clear my desk.
Oh, yes. You put baby to sleep on this?
I have to examine him. Get those ragged clothes off. I don't like it. Don't like it at all. There.
One thing we know now. Little boy is little girl.
Then it's a very sick little girl. What's her name?
It's Tadam Clothing. Katina. The name is Katina. There is no other name.
Well, Katina is a very sick little girl.
What she has?
It looks like malaria. This encampment for the orphans is in danger. There's a malaria epidemic.
Epidemic? You mean everybody gets sick?
Of the 3,000 orphans out there, more than 2,000 have it already. Now, stand hard of you. You can't run away from it. You won't be safe just because you're out of here and in your rooms. Malaria will find you if mosquitoes can find you.
Then what we do?
Every man and woman, boy and girl who's capable, will have to help me dry up or cover with oil every wet spot in this whole area.
Oh, my God, this is crazy!
Wait! You say, American lady, that it comes to all the children, even mine? No one will be safe. We have them to put oil on all the wet places? Yes. Then you give me a can of oil, a big can of oil. I spread it on whole ocean. If it saves my baby, it's good! Now, who else?
The American lady is very tired tonight, eh?
Tired? Yes, I guess so.
Oil. We cover the whole land with oil, it seems like, no?
Yes.
George, put on the light for you.
No, I just want to sit here in the dark for a while.
The babies, they get better. Today, some of them even smile.
Oh, the little one?
Katina?
Yes.
Oh, she smiled best of all.
Good. George.
Yes?
I received a letter today.
From home?
No. From Near East Relief Headquarters. I'm leaving here.
You go home, eh? Good, that is very good. You need very much to go home. It is 5 years now.
I'm not going home.
Not go home?
They've got another assignment. More trouble. Bill. Death. Leva, I couldn't refuse.
Oh. If only George could do something.
Just leave me here alone, will you, George?
Yes. Yes.
Why? Why? Oh, who is it?
Please. It is I, George.
Please, George, I asked you to be alone.
Yes. But maybe this will fill the empty place in your heart.
What is it, George?
The little one, Katina. You maybe like to hold her in your arms while you sit here alone, eh?
I would. I would. Give it to me. Thank you, George. Thank you.
Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented by the makers of Hallmark cards, America's favorite greeting cards. But first, here's a message we know you'll all be interested in.
This is Cy Harris. How are you tonight? And if this isn't too personal, how are you doing with all your New Year's resolutions? Well, I bring this up because I think perhaps I can help by telling you about a wonderful little date book that you can obtain absolutely free from your Hallmark dealer. It's a beautiful little book. And you'd never think anything so attractive could be so useful. Why, you'll find it's easy to remember all those things you've resolved to do on time this year when you have the 1948 Hallmark datebook. Its 36 pages are so conveniently arranged, with space beside each date for notations. Why, you can jot down your social engagements, your appointments. There's room to record birthdays and anniversaries, and there's a big section for names and addresses of your Christmas card list. Yep, this beautiful little datebook is small enough to slip into your handbag so that you can carry it everywhere, or you can keep it right beside your telephone if you like. Why don't you stop in tomorrow at the store where you buy Hallmark cards and ask for your 1948 Hallmark datebook. It will be given to you free, a beautiful and useful little present from your Hallmark dealer. And now, once again, here's your Hallmark host, Les Tremaine.
Our program continues now with the second act of tonight's story, The Woman Who Couldn't Come Home, starring Mady Christians. Now we find her entering the little clinic of another diseased and poverty-ridden city in Greece, Marathon.
We do.
Well, I don't. There's nothing here. Little equipment that I see. This is disgraceful.
They said you are an impatient woman.
What do you mean by that?
The letter. The one that finally arrived with word that you would come here after all.
They said impatient?
Yes. But I would say that you are merely tired. Ah, but then all Europe is tired. We all of us have the same disease.
Well, I'll thank you not to make any diagnosis on me. After all, I'm a nurse.
And I, dear lady, I'm a doctor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You need not apologize. After all, could you tell by looking at me in these shabby clothes? At my little health clinic that would do better as a warehouse?
I'm truly sorry. I guess I'm getting impatient, not only with people, but with poverty and filth and disease. I'm afraid I'm getting to be a bitter old woman.
You could tell that to anyone else, and they might believe you, but not to a doctor. You are not old, just tired. Let me make you a cup of coffee. Hot coffee.
Oh, yes, doctor. A cup of hot coffee would go well now. Would feel a little like home. But first, tell me, were they right? You do have an epidemic here?
Yes.
Then I know what must be done. We must cover over all the wet places.
My dear lady, I know what you have done in Corinth. We have done that here, too. I know what you did in Assyria, where you cut the death rate of babies to one-tenth of what it was. You see, your reputation has preceded you. Best of all, I like the way you start things and show the natives how to carry on their own.
Responsibility is part of recovery, but I don't intend to spend my time here looking back on what's already done.
Nor do I. I am trying to tell you that our problem here is different. Of drugs, we have little. Of doctors, not enough to take care of even a healthy population. And we have the sickest population in Europe. Perhaps we did you an injustice by asking them to send you here at all.
Doctor, this epidemic of yours has robbed me of a long-awaited chance to go home. I don't intend to have it beat me a second time.
You have a plan, madame?
Yes.
Oh, yes, of course. Pardon. But do you have a plan?
Not yet. But I have a grudge against this epidemic of yours, as I do against everything that keeps me away from America. And when I have a grudge... well, watch out, Doctor.
Today there are 17 more deaths reported, only from malaria. We do not count the starvation cases anymore.
I know.
And no hope. Not even a sign of hope.
Maybe the shipment of drugs... Paul.
Yes, miss?
Go down to the dock again.
Twice I have been there today.
They must know when the shipment is coming in.
No one knows. Besides, with malaria, it does no good. It is in the hands of God, who dies and who lives. I know that.
Don't blame God for everything.
Then the American lady can explain how Paul's boy, big and strong, get malaria and die so quick. And Paul, me, I have malaria long, long time, never die. How you explain that?
You've had malaria a long time.
Oh, very long time.
Paul, come here. Take off your coat. Roll up your sleeve.
Miss Swenson, what are you going to do?
Doctor, I'm going to take Paul's blood.
What? Without blood, man cannot live. Please, please.
Now, you hold still, Paul. I'm only going to take a little.
Leave the poor man alone. It can't do no good.
I don't know. But we're going to inject it into the sickest of our patients.
But medicine has no record of such treatment having any beneficial effect on malaria.
We have no drugs, no equipment, nothing. But we do have this blood of a man who's become immune to malaria. I'm going to use it. Are you thinking of stopping me, Doctor?
Miss Swenson, may I pass instruments for you?
Thank you, Doctor.
Miss Swenson, Doris.
Oh, I didn't know you were still here, Doctor.
You? Sterilizing instruments?
Oh, poor Paul. He's given so much of his blood, he's too weak to work now.
I was out visiting the patients. It's a miracle.
Oh, I'm glad. Glad.
Oh, my dear. Come on. You must not cry. You have accomplished a great thing.
I'm tired of accomplishing things. I'm an old woman who's lived the lives of thousands of people. And died with so many of them. I can't stand it anymore. This time I have to go home.
Of course, my dear. I know how you feel. Marathon is safe now. You have finished your work here. You should go home.
Looking out ashore, miss?
Yes.
We'll be here in Corinth just a little while, but you can go ashore for a few moments if you want to.
No, thank you, Captain. I wouldn't risk it.
You sound as though it's dangerous.
It is, to me. And I hope this boat doesn't stop again to the docks in New York.
Well, I'd be lying if I said we arranged it that way just for you, but that's a fact.
Captain, that's the best news I've heard in 8 years.
Been that long?
Yes, it's been 8 years.
Well, miss, I think you're being paged by that little man on the dock.
Where? Oh, yes! George! George!
You wait up there! I come up to see you! Wait, don't go away!
I hope he doesn't think this old tub can take off the fly.
He's come to say goodbye. Oh, yes. George would do that.
Oh, how I am afraid I do not come here on time. That we miss you.
How did you know, George? I wanted you kept a secret.
Did you hear that, little one? She think anything she do can be a secret.
Not in this part of the world. Oh, no.
The little girl, George. Who is he? You hear that, little one? Who are you? You!
Don't you know her, Miss American Lady?
I've never seen her. Wait! George, could it be... what's your name?
Now?
Yes, now.
My name is Katina.
Katina. Oh, Katina. Katina.
But I'm not finished yet.
No?
And I have come to thank you for saving my life. For saving the lives of the others of the children. There. Did I do it right, Uncle George?
Very good, my little one.
Oh, it was nice of you to come here. I can't tell you, George.
Please, Miss American Lady, before you say something to make poor George feel sorry.
What is it, George?
Miss American Lady, I did not want to be the one. I tell them, no, no.
What is it, George?
No. No, I cannot say it. I cannot.
What? What is it? Katina, you tell me.
That part they did not teach me.
What is it?
Miss American Lady, many people suffer again in Corinth. They are sick, even dying. When they hear you are in boat, they send George to ask you to come back, please.
Oh, no. No. No, they couldn't.
I did not have the heart to ask.
How could they? 8 years away from home. 8 years of dreaming and thinking and planning. They have no right. No right at all. I won't do it. I start at home and I'm going home.
Yes. Yes, you are right.
Miss American Lady, there are little...
No. No, Katina. Do not say any more.
I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Oh, come now, Katina. You must cry. Come here. I think that was the first thing I ever said to you.
You mustn't cry.
Now, tell me what you were going to say.
Miss American Lady, there are little children, and they are sick too.
Yes. Yes, of course.
Miss.
Yes, Captain?
We're shoving off soon.
Yes, Captain.
Well?
Captain, would you do something for me?
If I can, miss.
When you get back there, tell them that Doris Swenson is coming back. Someday. Somehow. Tell them that for me, will you?
I sure will, miss.
Thank you, Captain. Now, come, Dodd. Come, Katina.
Poor Miss American Lady.
Come. Remember, George? Once you said that I might like to have a baby. A two, or three, or four. Well, I guess there are some women who just don't feel right unless they have a few thousand to care for.
Miss Christians will be back in just a moment, but first, here is Cy Harris.
And now I have news that I'm sure will delight all the folks who have sent Hallmark dolls to their young friends. Hallmark dolls have made such a hit with America's children that a popular magazine asked permission to run a full-page, full-color feature on them, an editorial feature. Yes, you can see pictures of Hallmark dolls in Look magazine for January 20th that went on the newsstands this week. Little Red Riding Hood, Little Miss Muffet, Tommy Tucker, enchanting dolls straight from the land of make-believe. Hallmark dolls are greeting cards and more. They're beautiful dolls that stand 8 inches high. And there's a story about each doll told inside in rhyme. Look magazine gives the story of Little Boy Blue. And you'll know why children love Hallmark dolls when you read that story. It's the kind they want to hear over and over again. There are 16 different Hallmark dolls, and they make wonderful presents for birthdays or holidays or any day you want to make a child happy. They're as easy to mail as letters and cost only 25 cents apiece. See the editorial feature on these amazing dolls on page 76 of Look magazine this week. And start a collection of Hallmark dolls for some child you want to delight.
Thank you, Cy Harris. And now, once again, here is the star of tonight's Radio Reader's Digest show, Mady Christians. Miss Christians, none of us will forget the woman who couldn't come home.
Thank you. Someday I should like to meet her, wherever she is. Now tell me, who do we meet next on the Hallmark program?
One of Hollywood's most outstanding actresses.
Who's that?
Dorothy McGuire.
She is indeed. What's she playing?
A real mystery thriller that will make your blood run cold.
Oh, wonderful.
It's called The Hand on the Latch. It's about a lone woman and a mysterious knock on the door.
Oh, frighten me, Mr. Tremaine, but I listen.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you'll all listen next Thursday night when the makers of Hallmark greeting cards present one of the most gripping stories ever to appear in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, The Hand on the Latch, starring Dorothy McGuire. Host Les Tremaine saying goodnight to you all until next week at the same time. See you then.